reading over in the book of Hosea. I think we'll start with chapter 3. Got your Bibles, you can read with me. Reading in the third chapter, it says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who took to other gods and loved flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredom hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God, their sacrifice upon the tops of the mountain, and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal. Neither go ye up to Bethoven, and nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye, the wind hath bound her up in her wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices." That's pretty strong talk to Israel. But it's like I told you not too long ago in talking with you about the conditions, as to the world conditions and the things that's transpiring right now. The people of Israel are not really Israelites. Many of those people of Israel, as we say, in the land of Israel, that is, they're not Israelites. And like the Bible says concerning them that came out of Egypt, with all of them, God was not well pleased. For the Bible says that when many of them came out of Egypt, they turned back into Egypt in their hearts. And this is the thing that we have been speaking to you about, is turning back into Egypt in your heart. You may be with the Bethlehemites. You may be with the Christians, the children of God. You might be walking right along with us. But if your heart is in the world, then you're in this condition. Though those people are in the Holy Land, and they're in the land that God promised them to through their father Abraham, but yet their hearts are in the world and the things of the world, and because of that, God calls Israel a backsliding heifer. And Paul said, "The wrath of God to the uttermost hath come upon you," speaking to Israel. Whereas the Bible said, all that's of Israel come out of Egypt. They're not of Israel. But in Isaac shall the seed be called. So then we see that these people are causing the world a lot of problems. And they're overconfident. And because of that, they have withstood the Christians that try to lift up the name of Jesus. And they've come against the prophets. The Bible says, every prophet that I sent you, every wise man that I sent you, said you killed him. You've done something with him. And even now, when you go into the Holy Land, they'll kill you. And they're very arrogant and hostile. And they don't want you talking about God or putting out anything about the wonderful name of the lovely Savior Jesus. And because of this, the wrath of God is just literally waiting to be poured out upon them, to run Jacob through the fire, to burn out the chaff, and to bring the true Israelites through that horrible ordeal and that horrible situation. Now, I know a lot of people would say, "Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that Israel is the apple of God's eye and he's going to run them through the fire?" No more than he would run the bride through the fire. He isn't going to run the bride through the fire. He loves the bride. And yet, the bride goes through the fire, in that the Bible said every man's works are tried as if by fire. And if a man's works abide, then he receives a reward. So, God is going to run Jacob through the fire to this extent, that he's going to seal 144,000 to where they can't be hurt. He'll put a seal on them, and even the locusts that come out of the bottomless pit can't hurt them. They'll be run through the fire. So the true Israelite, the true seed of Jacob, will be protected. But all of this other stuff is nothing but chaff, and it's flack. And all around the Israelites are these people that have, it was like in the days of Nehemiah. He wouldn't let them in the gates. He said, "You're half-breeds." That is, you're all mixed up. Down in Babylon, you've got all mixed up. Ever since you went down into Babylon, you've got yourself all mixed up and you're all crossed up and you're not thoroughbreds anymore, he said. So he wouldn't let them in. And see, the church world today, they're not thoroughbreds. They're not really genuine God-born Christians. They're not really holy, holy, true God-born brethren and sisters in Christ. They're not that at all. They're half-breeds. They're half in the world and they're half out of the world. They're half in the flesh and they're half in the spirit. And their exuberance is half for the natural things of life and half for the spiritual things. They don't want to turn loose of God because they don't want to go to hell. And yet they don't want to turn loose the world because they want the lust of the flesh. And this is why God is upset with Israel right here. See, you've got to be all or nothing at all with God. You can't be a half-breed. You can't be half-hearted. You just can't do it. God won't let you do that. Right here, he tells us in the fourth chapter, he said, "And my people perish from the lack of knowledge." From the lack of knowledge. One thing is not knowing God's will. The lack of knowledge of not knowing the will of God, and the lack of knowledge in that we as people don't apply ourselves to try to understand the things of God. The Bible said when you come to the house of God, know how to behave yourself. Be more ready to hear. In that faith cometh by hearing and you're saved by faith. Be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. And it said to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. When you come in here, Come in with thanksgiving and praise. Don't come in with your mind on the things of the world or over here wondering about this or wondering about that or making money or being in the frolics of the world or doing the things of the world. Don't come into the house of God like that. Don't come in to question the preacher or question your brethren or that is you've had a fuss over here or dispute with your wife or with your children or with your neighbors. Or your whatever, don't come into the house of God and bring those things in here. Cleanse your mind. Don't come in here with passions on your mind and lust on your mind and all the things of the world on your mind. Don't come in here like that. Come in here. It's a sacred place. It's a holy place. It's a godly place. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And when you go out of here, be the same way. Don't change. The Bible said, swear to your own hurt and change not. And He said for us not to mess with them that are given to change. When you get out there, don't get into a mind of frolic. Don't get into a mind of worldliness. Don't start laughing and joking and going on. The Bible said, be sober. Be a diligent people. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because you're an adversary of the devil. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible said, who you should withstand steadfast in the faith. Don't let a man frolic with a woman and a woman frolic with a man. And I know when I say this, you're going to do it. I know that. I know that. The Lord said, go warn them and said, tell them. As the watchman on the wall, he said, but they're not going to listen to you. After you tell them, he said, they're not going to pay any attention to you. They're going to do the very same thing they've always done. He said, but if you don't do it, I'm going to require their blood at your hand. And when they do it, the blood is off of your hands. And as Paul said, your blood be upon your own heads. Because he said, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to do what you tell them to do. And I know that. Even the Bethlehemites aren't going to do it. And people that hear my voice, they're not going to do it. I know that. But the true elect, somehow God will eventually bring them to the right place. And they'll be those beautiful jewels that make up that lovely city. So I know that you're not going to do it. I understand that. But the thing is, I have to preach that. And this is, of course, as I say, what has happened to Israel. God is upset with Israel. You look on Israel over there and you think of somebody there as being holy. And yet when you go over there, they're not holy at all. See, they're not holy at all. You go over there and it's, as I said, not speaking evil now. I don't mean this in an evil way. But people, they become renegades. And they're not holy at all. Neither are they interested in being holy. See, these people right here, all of these people were supposed to be holy. All of these people were supposed to be godly. See, Israel, they were supposed to be holy. They sacrificed unto God. They'd done all these things unto God. And they were supposed to be holy. And they were supposed to be godly. But they were not holy. And they were not godly. And God said, I'm sick of your sacrifices. I'm sick of it. See, God is sick of the prayers of the church. He's sick of the fasting of the church. He's sick of going out and evangelizing. The church going out and evangelizing all these things. Because you're in corruption. You lap your own vomit. You turn again to wallow in the mire after that you've been washed. Because you're not right with God. And you go out here to tell somebody else. You say, let me get this mote out of your eye. When the Bible said the beam is in your own eye. And it says to get the beam out of your eye. Then shall you see clearly how to get the mote out of your brother's eye. See, you're not living for God. You're not going on with God. You're not fasting. You're not praying to the extent the Bible said you don't fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. See, you're not praying to make your voice to be heard on high. You fast, you pray for your own advantage. So you can be some big something out of the eyes of the public. So you can have the preeminence. And the Bible says to smite with the fist of wickedness. So that somebody will say, see here, look at him. Look at her. Oh my, look at this. You know, you're no more than a president running for office. You're no more than some celebrity or some dignitary out here running for office. You preachers, you know more than they are. Because your whole drive and incentive is toward worldly things. And worldly attire and riches and power and preeminence. And all these things as to positions in the world. Christians have gotten into that rut. Did you know in the average denominational church of today, their drive is to put you through college. And they think it's horrible if your children don't finish high school and go on to college. So that they can be some fine statesman or some dignitary or some fine outstanding businessman over here in Babylon. Did you know they think it's horrible if you don't do that? Did you know the armed forces right now don't want you in service if you haven't finished high school? But it's bad when the church gets like that. See, the church wants the preeminence. They want to say we're the first church. And they want the preeminence. They don't like being called holy rollers and those kind of things. See, and every time that God has given a move, He will open up, as it was in the days of Abraham, a well. And this well over here, it's a good well of water. And He will open up a well. And the first news you know, all of the people of the world, the different ones begin to come in. And soon it's not a church anymore. It's not a well of water anymore to the extent as to the Christians drinking out of it. And all of the Christians are driven out. And everybody that wants to be holy is driven out. And them holy, godly laborers that built and brought forth that well of water, they're driven out. And the prestige of the world moves in. And the first news you know, the devils, the vultures are all around it. And that well of water is taken away from them as it was in the days of Abraham and Isaac. See, and that well of water is taken away from them. And then they make a denomination out of it. They come together. And then they commercialize off of it. They commercialize off of it. They kill out the saints. And they turn it into something to where the Bible says, rather than being a church, it is a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That is filled with devils and demons of all kind of evil spirits. People are coming. When the sons of God come to present themselves as in the days of Job, so come the sons of Satan. So we see that this is the condition of today. It continued in the days of Abraham. It went right on until about 7 wells were dug. Having to do with the church ages, one right after another was dug, and then would come the Philistines. Then would come these people of those nations that they fought against, and they would take the well. And at last, there was one well that was open. One well, and nobody bothered to get that well because everybody had a well. Everybody was satisfied. But the Bible says that last well was the best well of them all. And that last well was finally open. You know why the world doesn't want the last well? Because it is God. It is God in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness. Whereas the Bible said God is the Holy Spirit. God is the Spirit of holiness, that we should serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And they don't like the latter well because it is holiness. The one that God is going to take away. The one that God is going to save. The members of His body that He's going to bring to Him. And it doesn't fit the world. And it doesn't fit their plan. And it doesn't fit their basketball and their baseball and the Olympics. And it doesn't fit their gullible desire for money. It doesn't fit their business and their prestige. It doesn't fit their careers and all these kind of things. See, it doesn't fit at all. It's a misfit. But glory to God, it's exactly the garment that I like. Lay aside the garment that is stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the souls unclean. Oh, be washed in His blood, in the blood of the Lamb. So then we see that God says in the latter days, He speaks of the last days here to the Jews. He said, and in the latter days I'll give you a visitation. You played the harlot. He said to this prophet, He said, go take a harlot. Take her there as a wife to you. He said, take this harlot. Pay her so much money and take her for a certain period of time. He said, because Israel has played the harlot. And said, take her to yourself. And I'm going to give an illustration of what Israel had done. So then, when we see the thoughts of God toward Israel, we're shocked. We're shocked. He said, you played the harlot under every green tree, yet they sacrificed. They'd done all these things. He said, but you're still without knowledge. You're perishing, Paul said, without knowledge. You don't have the knowledge of God. And you're running as one that beateth the air. You're going about with your own zeal and your ritualistics. And instead of keeping the things that I committed unto Moses, you're keeping the traditions of the elders. And they'd come along and they'd accuse Jesus and the apostles and said, you're breaking the law of Moses. And he said, no, I'm not breaking the law. He kept every jot, every tittle of it. He never broke it, never transgressed it. But because of the tradition of the elders and because they'd gotten into such rut, they didn't know what was tradition and what was law. So then God said, you haven't kept my law. You don't have any knowledge of my law. So he said that before the dreadful day of the Lord come, I will send you Moses. I will send you Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And they'll indoctrinate you and they'll bring you back to my law. And they'll show you the judgments of God upon that is wrong, contrary to God. So we see here, he said, my people perish from the lack of knowledge. Folks, this is why that I don't teach you to run and jump and do all of these kind of things. I don't care if you shout. You know, shout, that is to holler. Holler. A lot of people get shouting mixed up. They think shouting means to dance. There's a difference. There's a dance. The Bible said, praise him in the dance. That's not shouting. But when you shout like this, and he shall descend from the heavens with a trump of God and with the voice of the archangel and with a shout. So he'll shout and call the dead up out of the graves. So I don't care if you shout. With a loud voice, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. That's loud. And make a loud noise to God, as long as it's godly, as long as it's holy, as long as it's right. See, and I don't care if you dance. The Bible said David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might. And I don't care if you dance. That's all right, to praise him in the dance. The Bible said to praise him in the dance. The Bible said to praise him upon the string instruments. A lot of people don't want guitars and that kind of thing. But nevertheless, the Bible said praise him upon the string instruments. A lot of people don't like drums and cymbals. But the Bible said praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. See, so a lot of times we get in a rut. From the lack of knowledge, we perish. But there's one thing that God doesn't want. He doesn't want you jumping up, running the back of the benches, and running around like a wild man and interfering with the services of God and hollering. And every time you come together, some woman, she jumps up and she kicks her shoes off, you know, and she shouts till she shouts her hair down, you know, and she just gets in the way of God and gets in the way of the people and gets in the way of everything that God's doing, and she's nothing but a harlot to begin with. See, and all she's doing is making a mess. I've seen that so many times in my life. I remember one particular church, this woman was supposed to be the cream of the crop. Every time, practically every time that we went to the church, she had to shout, she had to show off, she had to do all of this, and she was the woman of the women, you know. She was like Miriam when Miriam was over there doing all the dancing and hollering and playing the cymbals, you know, or the tambourines and whatever. Like Miriam, and the next thing you know, was mumbling, grumbling against Moses, and she wound up with leprosy. You know, and God doesn't want that kind of mess in the church. I said mess in the church. God doesn't want that kind of thing. But what he does want, God wants you to have the knowledge of God, and he wants you to have the understanding of God. And if you feel like praising God, really genuine praise, if you speak in tongues, that's all right. But the Bible said if you speak in tongues, speak to yourself and to God unless you can interpret. If you've been called to interpret, that's fine. At the right time, if you don't interfere with the voice of God that's coming forth, you can speak in tongues and interpret. Or if there be no interpreter, then keep silent. Speak to yourself and to God. Let everything be done unto edifying and be done decently and in order. Now, if there's an interpreter there, you get a chance to speak in tongues. If the anointing is on you, then speak out loud, because the message is coming and it can be coming directly to you, or that is, if you pray in the Spirit, you're communicating with God. And the Bible says concerning the knowledge of God that we should speak with a tongue of understanding in the church. Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. He said, but in the church, I'd rather just speak a few words and an understanding, a language that can be understood. Said, by that, I edify the church. He said, but if I speak thousands of words in an unknown tongue, nobody don't get edified. He said, the man over here, he don't know what I'm saying. And said to him, I'm a barbarian, and to me, he's a barbarian. Said, we're separated. Now, if you've never had anything like that to be revealed to you, just go down into Mexico and sit down in one of those places of worship down there, and you sit over in the corner and you don't understand Spanish, and you'll see what he meant about being a barbarian one to another. So we need to be children of understanding. I've been to churches and they would shout and they would holler and they would jump and they would run. And they didn't know nothing about what the preacher said. And in a lot of cases, the preacher never did say anything anyway. They didn't give him a chance. And then I have been to churches where preachers would just say all kind of things that knew nothing about the Bible, hadn't studied the Bible, wasn't interested in the Bible. They'd been hunting, they'd been drinking, they'd been eating, they'd been fellowshipping, they'd been doing the things of the world. And when they come to the sacred desk, they didn't know nothing about God nor the revelation of God. And all they do is holler and scream and run and jump, you know, and give a big show and play the organ, all these kind of things, you know, to get people all up in the air and get them and shouting and hollering and going on and take a big offering. They say, "We really had a service this morning. My, we had a service." I've asked some of them just to see. And I passed this on to you. I said, "Well, what did the preacher pray?" "I don't know about that. We just had a he didn't hardly get to say nothing. The Lord was so strong and so mighty, and the Spirit was moving so mightily." And I've been in some of them services. And usually what it is, it's a woman that jumps up, that the devil that takes it away from the voice of God through the true ministry. Come on, folks. I said it's the display of the flesh. It's the devil that saveth the things that be of the flesh. And if it ain't the devil, it's somebody else out there. It might be a man. Sometimes it's a man. He'll jump up out there, you know, to keep it away from the preacher. You understand what I'm saying? Do you really believe that somebody would come into the audience when the Bible said, "Come now to hear"? Don't give the display of fools jumping and hollering and screaming, thinking your thoughts and surmising and doing all these evil things. Don't lean to your own understanding. Cast down every thought, bringing in subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus. Do you think God would have you come into the church, or me to come into the church, and the minister's up here, and the Bible said it's not him speaking now, but God, and he comes there to edify and to teach you and to tutor, and then you jump up and holler like that and take the service over? Do you think God is in that? God isn't in that. You say, "But I believe he is." Well, I'll tell you what. Show me one place in the Bible where Jesus ever gathered the multitude together and taught them, and somebody jumped up and done that. Oh, somebody says, "I can show you." I can too. And you know what he said? He said, "You devil." That's what he said. They jumped up in his service and he said, "You devil." So then when Jesus came together, he taught them. He preached to them. The people sat quiet and they listened. Why? Because it was the voice of Almighty God. See, and folks, we're translated by faith. And faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. And you got to hear something. You got to know something. Can't you just imagine, you know, me and Frank, we're going to go to school. So we start the school and we get into third grade. And every morning I say, "Frank, what about your boat?" You say, "Well, that's fine. What about your bicycle?" I say, "Frank, let's do something after school. I'm tired. Let's jump." You know, and we just go on to school and go on to school. And finally the day of the diplomacy comes. Now, can't you just imagine them giving us a diploma? They'll do it because they give them to ignoramuses. But are not supposed to do that. That's not the right way. That's not the right way. That's why we have judges like we do, and sheriffs like we do, and presidents like we do, and all these other things, because it's a bunch of ignoramuses that just went through there. They've done their own thing and bought their way through and riches and all this kind of thing. And we're under the constraint of a mess, as it was down in Babylon and down in Egypt. As a matter of fact, I had a night vision last night. I was thinking of it this morning. Some outstanding sheriff came into this area and was giving speeches. I don't know what it had to do with. This is something. Maybe I'll detail it to you a little later. But anyway, knowledge. See, what did he say that he wanted us to have? The knowledge of God. He wants us to have the knowledge of God. Folks, if you don't have even the natural knowledge of God, you're never going to get the spiritual knowledge. Somebody says, "Well, bless God, Brother Pike, I'm one of them healers." I'm one of them healers. I know. One of them healers is always taking an offering, always needing an offering. That's the kind of healer you are. Always taking off, always wanting an offering. Always playing around with the women and flirting with the women. Some of you smart guys that stand back at the door that always hold the lady's hand. I know them. I'm talking about Pentecostal preachers. They run from the sacred desk to get around to be at the front door. Take the lady's hands and they say, "Good morning. Good morning, dear." And a lot of times she's trying to get loose from him. And he just holds on. I'm telling you, I've been standing there watching. I've seen it. You know, the Bible said it's good for man not to touch woman, but he's going to touch all of them. He's going to be right there. And when the man comes up, he says, "Good morning, sir." I know, they'll stand there, a woman come up, and it's dear, you know. And when the man comes up, they say, "Good morning, how are you?" That's all there is to it. The man wants to talk to the preacher. And he said, "Oh, sure. Hey, how are you, ma'am?" That's the way they do it, folks. That's why God spoke of these people like he did. They're wretched, they're dirty, they're unclean, they're filthy, they lap, they vomit, they wallow in the mire. And then they get up behind the sacred desk, or they infiltrate the communities of God, or they get into the churches. You know who they are? Let me tell you something, folks. You say, "Well, I'm not like that." All you've got to do is be natural, just like a man right now, sitting in this row right here. All you got to do is be natural, and your dirty mind comes up. Your carnal mind is enmity with God. A man sitting right there, you always doing it. You know why? Because your background is intellectual, and you don't pray, and you don't fast. Somebody said, "Oh, you don't know, Brother Pike." I said, you don't pray, and you don't fast, and you're intellectual. And when you get in here, when I go to say something, illustrate, you start with your old natural mind. "Well, I don't know whether that's God or not. I don't know whether that's cute. I think you need to stop your mess and get it out of here." You're the one that's got the mess, not me. It's your mess, not mine. You'll get your mind out of the hog pen, you won't be like that. So then out of all the people, I look out there when they get in the anointing and in the spirit like this, and I find you as a mess laying right out there among them. All right, so we are talking about the anointing of God. We're talking about the things of God, talking about discernment of God. We're talking about the purebred, godly, holy people that's clean on the inside. You know why the devil has natural people like that? That's an unclean bird. See, he told you not to lean to your own understanding. He told you to think godly. Do away with all of your thoughts. Why are you still thinking your thoughts? When the Bible said their carnal mind's enmity against God. You know, to my left, I run into a fellow here on my left, on the end, these benches here. You know, I run into him a lot of times. Even though this morning he's not doing that, and I praise God for it. But he's so natural-minded that I feel sorry for the man. See, I find one over here, and then I pick up in discernment one over here. And I can understand a lot of times you come in and I pick up your spirit and maybe you're hurting, or maybe you've got indigestion, or maybe you're uncomfortable, or maybe something's wrong, or maybe somebody's hurt you. And I don't say anything about it going. But when you come in here with your old messy mind, I say something about it because it interferes with the things of God. When they jumped up in Jesus' presence, Jesus said, "You devil, you devil." See, and that's what it is. You don't have to jump up in your body. All you got to do is jump up in your mind. You know why that the devil has people like that? Because he doesn't want the word of God to come forth. He wants us to stay in the natural. I know how to get rid of that. All I got to do is just jump in the hog pen with him. And I can't smell nothing no more because I smell like him. And we smell of each other. As far as we're concerned, everything's fine. I'll tell you what, go into a house, you have clean oxygen in your lungs, and go into a dirty house and a smelly house, and you can't hardly stand it. But sit around in about 2 or 3 hours, and you get adjusted to it, doesn't bother you at all. You say, "Well, I wonder where that smell went to." I'm saying this, folks. We're holy people. We're godly people. We're pure people. We're not adulterous people. We're not unclean people. God is a spirit. He is a spirit. He doesn't want me to be natural-minded. He doesn't want me to be carnal-minded. He doesn't want me to try to be cute. He does want me to illustrate, as Paul said, "Bear with me in my folly," to get things over, even to a child's level. See, he wants us to be spiritual. Paul said, "I would that you were spiritual. I want to speak unto you as unto spirituals, for God is a spirit." And he wants us to have ears to hear. He wants to have the knowledge of God. And he said, "Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation." Why should I have the spirit of revelation? Like this morning, I want to say a few things to you. A lot of times I don't say them to you. You might say, "Well, why, Brother Pike? We come to church." I don't, because you're not spiritual. You say, "But say them." Well, we'll know them. Well, the Bible said the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Let a natural-minded man come in here that's got a natural concept of preaching, a natural concept of the ministry, a natural concept of the things of God. And I don't care what you say spiritually, it's foolishness to him. Like the man that was sitting right here that I spoke of a while ago. See, he thought what I was doing was foolishness. But it wasn't foolishness. Your thinking was the foolishness part. You shouldn't have been carnal-minded. It's foolish to violate the will of God. It's foolish to violate the mind of God. It's foolish for you to sit there in that mind when God told you not to think your own thoughts. It takes a foolish man to violate the things of God. Eve was foolish because she violated the word of God. That's where the foolishness is. So you see how blind you are? You're looking through dirty windows. And when you look through those dirty windows, then all you see is smudge. But I'll guarantee you, if you'll get those dirty windows cleaned up, you'll find out the preacher's different. You'll find out your brother's different. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you about it. That's what I'm up here for. The Bible said, esteem others better than yourself. You wasn't esteeming me better than yourself. You thought you was pretty smart. See, and I was pretty ignorant. But the thing reversed. The last is first and the first is last. See, in your world, you reason it out to your advantage. But in my world, I'm reasoning it out to my advantage. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Somebody said, well, what we'll do, Brother Pike, we'll contest it. Not for very long, because I'm forever. All right. Let's look at it like this. You're my children in God. You're God's children. You're my people. Like Ruth said, my people, your people. They're going to be my people. See, esteem others better than yourself. Look on the things of another. Seek the welfare of another. All right, speaking spiritually just a little bit to them that maybe can get a hold of something. Here we are, knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. As to the godly knowledge of the Lord. Now, look at these pillars down here. We're pouring some pillars. Well, pouring pillars is not foolishness to the world. And that they say, money, money, money plus money. You know, we'll have a nice mansion. And they like that kind of thing. And it's wonderful. God said, I'll make you rich and I won't add any sorrow. You walk up, you know, you walk with me, I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, my blessing. It'll make you rich, add no sorrow. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. The pillars, we say, how much? Or does that add anything to our asset? Well, they want $6,000 approximately for a pillar that's hollowed out. And we got a good solid one. So that would probably be about, $80,000 to $120,000 or more to get them pillars around. I'm just talking about the 24 because that's got, what about, it's probably got another 24 more little ones. And on the inside, it's probably, I don't know how many it's got upstairs down, maybe 50 pillars or more. I don't know how much just the pillars would cost. You understand what I'm saying? But we're not interested in the pillars. We're not interested in them. Jesus said, if you'll overcome, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. See these pillars here? These main pillars here? You remember the vision I had of two men that was pillars in the church? I saw them. There were pillars in the church. There were main pillars in the structure having to do with the Moses and Elijah thing. And I saw them break. Both of them broke in this church. See, right here. And what I did, that was years ago. And what I did, I run in and I got a hold of this thing like that. And somehow, by the help of God, I managed to keep that thing from falling. Got all my people out. Not one of them got hurt. And I told the brethren who those two pillars were. The Bible speaks of James and John. Spoke of these men as being pillars in the church of God. Of the living God. See, I will make you a pillar. You'll become strong. You won't give. You won't waver. You're rooted. You stay there. Like them pillars down there, they're rooted 4 feet in the ground, a square root. You ever study square roots in the chair in the school? Anyway, they're square rooted and they're down 4 feet deep in the ground. See, to make them stable where they won't topple, because that's a lot of weight up there. They have an iron skeleton on the inside, welded together. A pillar. See, a pillar. I spoke of these two men as being pillars. They broke. Over a period of time, they broke. But by the help of God, it didn't affect the church. We went right on. Down through the years, we went right on. See, overcoming. You can be a pillar. Somebody say, I tell you what, Brother Pike, I just can't hardly make it. I say, oh, Brother Taylor, he's a pillar. Go lean on him. He's all right. He ain't going to give. And he run over there to Brother Taylor. Straighten up right. Not tilted, straight and upright. You know? And he talks to you and he loves you. So just make straight paths for yourself and you'll be all right. You know, you lean on that pillow. When you feel weak, you lean on that pillow. And he helps you. This is what God wants. He wants you to be an overcomer. And the Bible said, and he that overcometh, I will give unto him to eat of the hidden manna. I will give unto him the hidden manna. What is that? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the hidden part. That which is hidden, unrevealed, secret. The Bible said that belongs to God. But that which is revealed belongs unto man. So then if this great mystery of God is to be finished, then it has to be revealed. If it's brought forth and then it's revealed, then it belongs to you and I. We have a right to it. Paul, who received the revelation, said, and now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God, even that is in the heavenly places. And you have this heavenly treasure in the earthen vessels. Now I say again, somebody would say, well, treasure to me is dollars and cents and gold and silver, riches and all these kind of things. But what is greater than that isn't the Word of God, the knowledge of God that created the silver, that created the gold, that created the pearls, that created the beautiful peacocks, that created everything. Isn't that great a treasure? To have this knowledge of God, this understanding of God, to have this vision of God. Without a vision you perish. If you don't come to church, if you don't do something, if you don't get with the brotherhood, if you don't get your vision, you're going to perish. There's no doubt about it. You're going to perish. You've got to have something going. You know, a lot of people, there's trouble in their minds. That song, Trouble in Mind, I'm Blue. Trouble in mind. All the time, they're trouble in mind. Why are they trouble in mind? The Bible says, commit your works unto the Lord, and then your thoughts shall be established. But see, if you don't commit your works, your mind is just fuddled up like a mud hole. See, you've got to get an incentive toward one direct thing and put your mind on it, and then your thoughts will be chain reaction, and you'll be stable, and you won't have all this trouble in mind. Commit thy works unto the Lord, then thy thoughts shall be established. All right, let's go a little bit further, and we're going to try to close here. Now, so God got upset with Israel. Now, here we are, spiritual Israel. Paul said, he that is a Jew outwardly, he is not a Jew. There's no such thing as an outward Jew. All them people in the Holy Land, them's not Jews. He said, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he is the true Jew. So we are spiritual Jews. We are the spiritual Israelites of God. We're the true Israelites of God. Not with this bunch of junk, you know, some of them's got going about the true Israelites and this kind of thing of trying to prove the flesh to be true Israelites. You know, you're never going to prove this flesh to be a Jew and them people over there to be false. You're never going to do that. You know, you've got enough sense that you can look at them and tell their color and see what kind of people they are and tell that you ain't the same as they are. So we're speaking spiritually of the true elect of God, the true spiritual people of Almighty God. So see, you are a true child of God. You are blood bought. You are a true spiritual child of God, a quickening spirit, not a living soul. That's dead, that's buried, that's gone as to the first man Adam, who was made a living soul. Your soul has been preserved and taken from death unto life, and now you are a quickening spirit to where your soul cannot die. You cannot be killed. You're equal to the angels. You're hid with God, and you're in the heavenly places now. All right, let's look at this spiritually just for a minute. Look at the pillars down here. I know somebody says, Brother Pike, them things look like they're missiles. I know that. You know, people made a joke out of this when we built these, you know, they're laying like this out here. It had to do with the bank. We put these like this, and somebody made a joke out of that, and said that's where they shoot them off when they get ready to go, you know, off of there. Some got scared, thought it was a launching pad, and we was putting a missile base out here. You know, it'll secretly blow up everybody. Well, believe it or not, a lot of things are intended to appear that way. Like these down here, these were intended to appear as missiles. And they have a great significance as to Jachin and Boaz, the great pillars of Solomon's temple. This building is called the Father's house. And I'm just going to speak with you a few minutes spiritually to you that can receive these. No man can receive anything except to be given him from God. Otherwise, it'll just be foolishness. But here it's called the Father's house. This house, I spoke of it as well as the bank out here and the doors ready to be closed on it. Everything's ready. We spoke of many things here that's so greatly significant. This is called the Father's house. So in the Father's house are many pillars. I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God if you can overcome. So it has great significance. Now, I can take my time this morning, even though it's getting a little cool in here, and I'm going to try to let you go. But I could take my time this morning and enumerate many things. I saw them. You saw them. But the thing is, did it mean to you what it meant to me? Did you see what I saw? See, that's the thing. Did you see what I saw? Was you looking in heaven? Did you see those things naturally, or did you see those things spiritually? In that the Bible says, as in heaven, so in earth, and all of the things in heaven, they have something that they're shown by in the earth. For Paul said, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. And these things being given to us in Christ before the world ever was, by the foreknowledge of God, brought to light at Calvary, as to the rent veil and down through the church ages, ministered to us as a measure of light, proportionally speaking, as we're able to comprehend them, and then comprehending in the end time the heights, the depth, the width, and the length by the spirit of revelation of being spiritual, comprehending these things, see as to make a compound light of a manifold thing as sevenfold light. So the pillars down here, they were meant to look like missiles. I had gone into the house to get my wife. I wanted my wife to see it. I went in, but she was so preoccupied with things, I never say nothing to her. But I had got Don, and I'm sure that Don got the pictures, whether in color or not, I don't know. But I'd wanted to take my wife down near the multipurpose building. Brother Hollis was filling in, working down there, and I'd ask him to get a picture of him on the tractor down there and for the magazine and whatever, and our publications. And I wanted a picture of those things that look like missiles, those tubes. We already had numbers of pictures. They'd got video and all kind of stuff. But I got him to go back down there, this particular place where I wanted to take Sister Betty to let her see it. It was really something to see. All the lights on, the big lights was on, and then the heaters down around the base there, they were blowing out the flames, you know, and these things set and tied down, and we'd put the pads under them, as we called them, and everything was just ready, you know, to go. And during the time all this was taking place, many multiplied things happened as to spiritual significance. One of the things, Brother Mike Bradley, having to do with that yesterday, we spoke of war in heaven and the fighting there, and Michael and his angels fought, and the red dragon was cast out, and he came along yesterday while we were standing over there around the pillars, and some things in great significance took place. Some of them caught a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but some of them didn't see nothing. They were blind, just as blind as they could be. But then my son-in-law came down, and Susie, and both of them have great significance as to their position in Revelation. And if we went into it this morning, you could understand what I'm saying. I'm not going to try to, because it's cooling off in here, and I can tell that I'll lose your minds if I get to talking. Some of you are not spiritual, and I'll lose your mind, so I'm just going to drop in a few things to lay a foundation. And when I do speak up these things, maybe you'll understand. But every person plays a role in the things of God. Every person. And like I said so many times, you're the main player. You're the main player. The film is being taken. The movie is on. You know, the show is there. It's there. And you're the main player. See, God wants to show you to the world. And Christ through you to the world. That it be not you living, but Christ. And the more you die, the more that Christ can live. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. And it doesn't matter, male or female. It doesn't matter, young or old. God wants to project you all down through the Bible. He did this from the least to the eldest. Now, so God wants to project you. You are the main player. It doesn't matter what Brother Pike does or someone else does. We're here as the ministry for the perfecting of your faith. You are the member of the body of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus is the main player. See, you're flesh of his flesh and you're bone of his bone. Not another. I won't give my glory to another. You're not another. You're his very body. And so then, as a man gives his glory to his wife, so gives he the glory to the church. Glorify these, Father, with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. So then, you're the main player. And whatever you do, that's what it is. Somebody said, if God would just do for me what he's done for Brother Jerry Lambert. Maybe you haven't done for God what Jerry Lambert done. Somebody said, well, I don't see why I can't have what he's got. Maybe you haven't worked like he's worked. God said, wherever you put your foot, I'll give it to you. Whatever you do, you can have it. You know, if you want to evangelize the world, go evangelize the world. He'll bless you. Brother Joe down here, why is Brother Joe being blessed? Because he put forth his foot and went down there and stirred up 10 different villages down there. You know why you didn't stir up the villages? You never went down there. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody said, well, I want God to give me something. You've never put your foot anywhere for him to give it to you. See? So then we are rewarded according to our works. We do something, that's our reward. Isn't that right? In heaven and in earth. As so in heaven, so in earth. God rewards you accordingly. If we do nothing, we get nothing. The talk of the lip only tends to penury, but there's reward in all labor. And so then if you do something, you're going to be rewarded. If you don't do anything, you're not going to be rewarded. All right, let's say a few more things and we'll try to close. What is my drive, my goal, my incentive toward life? Is it personal, gullible, ambitious for my own self? You're the main player. You're the one that's playing the role of your life. Not Brother Pike, not Brother Taylor, not Brother Jerry. You're playing the role of your own life. It's you and Jesus. And you're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. You can do it if you want to do it, but you're going to have to do better than some of you are doing. So then down here, I see these things all the time. I saw the wonderful blessings of God. And I was going to bring out a few of them, but I could see that it wouldn't take right now. It wouldn't take. You're not very spiritual this morning. And it wouldn't take your good listeners, and you're listening real good to what I say. You're not being ugly or arrogant, but you're not very spiritual this morning. See, to hunger and thirst after the things of God. You know, real reverent, we sit here, we listen, and we say, pour it on, Brother Pike, bring it on, I want it. You know, and all the times they go ahead and give it to us. Let's don't take too long, it's cold, and I need to get to the hamburger shop. You know, it's just about dinner time, but pour it on, Brother Pike, I want it. I'll just take it in my bag with me, and then I'll take a better look at it later. See, but you don't get it like that. It's when you're hungering and thirsting after the things of God, and you're cold, but your mind is on God. You know, are you hot and you're wiping this perspiration, but thinking, oh my God, don't let him stop. You know, listening to the voice of God. Or you're enduring the cross and you could care less about eating. Moses, one day went by, 2 days went by, 5 days, 2 weeks went by, 40 days went by. He just stayed with it. Went down the mountain, got upset because of their foolishness, went back 40 more days, 80 days he stayed with it. He didn't eat and drink, he just stayed with it. So you got a hunger and thirst. When you get something down the inside, as to the spiritual man calling, as to the deep calling to the deep, and hungering and thirsting after the things of God, it'll just pull that inner God out and he'll talk to you. But as man to man, it's nothing. I can preach to you, I always preach to you, I have to preach to you. By the foolishness of preaching it, please God that men should be saved. But the Bible said the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. So as to the foolishness of preaching, it's much wiser than all the men of college degrees and whatever. All right, let's stand together. We're not going to talk about those spiritual things because we've already exhorted you some. As to the latter days, consider it and you'll see it. He that receives a message in the latter times, let him run with it. Many lovely, beautiful things. Always fills my heart to say to you, Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you're dull of hearing. And Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He said, but I cannot, because there's envy among you, there's strife among you, the desire for the things of the world, carnality. He said, are ye not yet carnal? To think all of these thoughts, isn't that the carnal mind that resists the heavenly spirit? Are ye not yet carnal? Can ye then be spiritual, being carnal? Are ye not yet abiding in death? Do ye have eternal life? To be carnally minded is death. Death started with the tree of knowledge, and it's continued with the tree of knowledge, and it's been ballooned. It's been magnified. The tree of knowledge and death, to think your own thoughts, to do your own thing. From the tree of knowledge comes death. For to be carnally minded is death. And then the tree of life has come about. And we have to make an exchange. And we have to get away from the old tree of knowledge, which is carnality and carnal thought, to get to the tree of life, which is the mind of Christ. My words are spirit, my thoughts are spirit, and they are life. All right. There's a lot we could say about that. Nobody's going to understand, not fully, until the church goes out of here, but when it goes out. And that's what I would have talked about this morning. If I could have found the right avenue of thought as to the spirit. That's why I said this morning I was searching to try to find it, if I could. Like when my granddaddy was dying, he was on his bed dying, he'd been called to be a preacher. I told you about how he saw this lake, and all around it, the lake was grown up, just like a wilderness. My granddaddy dying. Looked across the lake, and he saw Jesus standing there with a staff and little sheep all around him. He couldn't understand it. He said somebody came into his room, said he knew somebody come into his room, maybe through the window, and said they looked. And so they looked under the bed, and they looked under the pillars, and they looked all around, like us through the pantries, wherever. Said, and finally they shook their head and said, it's not here. And off they went. My granddaddy never carried his ministry. Called to be a preacher, but he didn't carry his ministry. Apparently that the waters probably had to do with people and the neglect as to his ministry, as to Adam keeping the garden. So we've got a task ahead of us, a spiritual task ahead of us, and we've got jobs to do. To be about the Father's business. We can be negligent, do the things of the world, then are we children of the world. If we do that of the world, the Bible said, of that which you overcome as to a bondage, then are ye servants to do that. As unto a bondage of carnality unto death, or as to submission to godliness, the words of life, as unto eternal living in existence. I like being forever, don't you? So, it won't be fully recognized until the church goes out of here. And then somebody is going to all of a sudden realize that somebody had a knowledge that somebody else didn't have. And that the corn, as we say, has been shucked down. And what we thought to be life was only a shuck. And the swine, Jesus called them dogs and swine. And the swine fed off of it. But the grain had been taken away. They'll see that as to the translation. Gathered into the house, into the father's barns, or to the garner for use. The true grain, the others will be left. They'll be left. It's going to happen. God's going to shut down the corn. It's going to happen. So, as it was said, even in the days of Abraham, Sarah said, that bond's child isn't going to be heir with my child. As it has been said, the shuck shall not be heir with the seed or with the corn. So you throw away the hull. Whether it's in the nuts, whether it's the shell of the eggs, and as embalmers call this a shell, you do away with it. And then you appear in a new form. As you've borne the image of the earthly, as unto death, as unto the grave, so shall you bear the image of the heavenly, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his members in particular, the temple of Almighty God, bearing the members of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as of the resurrected. Eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. I like being in the heavens, don't you? I like to dwell in the heavens. Let's give the Lord a hand. I said, I like dwelling in the heavens. Ye are they that dwell in heaven. I like being forever. I like dwelling in heaven. To this to you, some of you, it's just a saying. To some of you, it's just words. But to me, it's not. My inner man is in the kingdom of God. He is in heaven. You look after the outward appearance. So you say, I don't see you in heaven, Brother Pike, no more than I see me in heaven. Neither did Nicodemus see Jesus in heaven any more than he saw himself in heaven. But nevertheless, Jesus said, I'm in heaven. Jesus said, ye are in heaven. For God hath translated you into the marvelous kingdom of your God, as to the inner man. So ye that walk after the flesh, you that think of the flesh, to know each other after the flesh, you have nothing. But as to those that are heavenly, such are the heavenly. As to those that are earthly, such are the earthly. And the child is known by his doings, according to their desire, their ambition, their thrill, whatever they're oriented in, whatever their desire is, then that's what they are. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me. I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep oh, the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Can you sing it with me? Every hour I need thee, I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Let's listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. The altars are open while we sing this little chorus together. Sing this little chorus. Come into my heart. Can we sing it together? Come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing it with me again? Come in to my heart, oh, come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in
to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
If you love him, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If we don't keep his commandments, then brethren, what can you say other than we don't love him? So if we love him, then we'll do the things that please him. And the Bible said, in doing the things that please him, this is the way that we assure our hearts to have confidence that he hears us. And the Bible says, if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Can we sing another chorus or two just before we go? It's a little bit cool, but I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. The altars are open, and you're welcome to come. If you've never made the commitment, come. The Bible said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. Paul said, from henceforth there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not only for me, but for everyone that will do the will of God. Having loved the present world, Paul spoke of a man forsaking him. Having loved the present world. I trust that you don't love the present world. If God has blessed you in the present world, then give glory to God. Be thankful to God. Thank God for everything that he's done for you. Let your substance be precious to you, as in the eyes of a wise man, to use them for God. He'll fill your barns with plenty. Your presses will burst out with new wine. But don't place your affection on the things of the earth. Place your affections on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, and moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Remember that. Okay, let's sing together, can we? Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She came back singing, and she came back bringing, was bringing of the water that wasn't from the well. Oh, Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She came back bringing, and she came back singing, bringing of the water that wasn't from the well. Let's sing it again. Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her water. She came back singing, and she came back bringing, bringing of the water that wasn't from the well. Let's try it again. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She came back singing, and she came back bringing, bringing of the water that wasn't from the well. Oh, Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She came back bringing, and she came back singing, bringing of the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave me water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave me water, and I went forth to tell. I've come back singing, and I've come back bringing, bringing to you water that isn't from man's well. Oh, he gave me water that wasn't from the well. He gave me water, and I went forth to tell. I've come back singing, and I've come back bringing,
bringing of the water.
Can you sing it again?
Jesus gave me water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave me water, and I went forth to tell. I've come back bringing, come back singing, singing of the water.
One more time.
Oh, Jesus gave me the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave me the water, and I went forth to tell. I've come back a-bringing, and I've come back a-singing, bringing to you water that isn't.
One more time.
Oh, Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She came back bringing, and she came back singing. She was bringing of the water that wasn't from the well.
Let's give him a hand. Jesus has water that isn't from man's well. If you're not drinking of this water, you need to drink from it, because Jesus said, he that drinks of this water shall never thirst. For out of your innermost beings, this shall become a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Ye shall never thirst again, because ye shall have your own well of water. And the Bible said we draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. All right, let's sing this song, Frank. I want to sing this little chorus and close.
Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Carry me home, band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming just to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home.
Let's give him a hand, Jamie. All right, while we've got our heads bowed and our hands lifted up, as you go your way today, think about Jesus. Take Jesus with you. Like the song we wrote, life can be so beautiful if you'll take Jesus with you. Consider Jesus in all you do. Give him glory. You know, sometimes I go to drink a glass of water, maybe standing over at the basin or somewhere, and all of a sudden the anointing will come on me of the Spirit of God, the thoughts of God, and I say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for a cold glass of water. Thank you, Jesus, 10,000 times, 10,000 and thousands of praises be to you for the precious glass of water that quenches my thirst. For the rich man in hell said, if I could have one drop, just one drop. And the Bible said we have all kind of diseases, all kind of problems, all kind of poverty, all kind of things come upon us. Because we praise not the Lord our God for the abundance of all things. They limited the Holy One down in the wilderness, and it upset God because he wanted them to have the abundance of all things. For Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life. Every form of living, every form of life, as to whatever your needs are, happiness of food, financial prosperity, whatever, I would above all things that you prosper and be in healthy means your soul prospers. The threefold blessing of God. See, and I've come that you might have life more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. So when you don't go around with faith and confidence as to believe that he's going to give you all things that displeases him, it limits the Holy One. And because of unbelief, he swore they could not enter into his rest. Because to enter into the kingdom, you have to do like Enoch by faith. You're translated into the kingdom, the marvelous kingdom of God. So let's give him praise for the abundance of all things. Just go around thanking him, saying, oh God, hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I'm not going to want for help, because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to want for healing because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to want for the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. I'm not going to lack wealth because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to be without joy, jubilance, happiness, the splendor, the magnificence of rejoicing of my cup running over because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. For any good thing I shall not want. For he is the abundance of all things. All right, while you're standing here thinking on the wonderful things of God, remember Jesus loves you. I'm going to ask Brother David Klein to come up if he will and dismiss us. While David is coming to pray, let me ask you again, when you don't have nothing to do, pray for me. Pray for me. We're getting ready for a trip around the world to try to reach some of the places that we've been invited to and perhaps some that we haven't been invited to start a little spark, to open up something around the world that we might say to those people the same things that we say to you. Perhaps not in the spiritual measures as to some of you being able to receive these things, but as to the milk and of the word, and as to other things that they can receive. So pray for us. Pray for Brother Joe. He's going down into Mexico. And pray for him. Pray that God will bless. And as David comes this morning, I want you, while you've got your heads bowed, your hands lifted up, I want you to think just a little bit now. I want to give you a chance while you're praying to think, and just before you leave, I want you to set the basket out and drop in a little something for Joe. He's fixing to go down to Mexico. It takes a lot of money to be able to make trips in and out Mexico. He shares with the poor. He also has a family. Pray for Joe. Joe wants to work with us, be part of the brotherhood, and we work with him as part of the brotherhood. It doesn't matter if he lives in Woodbury. The thing is, he loves Jesus, and he's wanting to carry the truth to the people and help the people. And what we're after is to establish the kingdom of God in the earth, in Mexico, around the world, wherever. So I remember our wonderful brother Al Gonzalez, who hath left such great footprints in the sands of time, down in old Mexico. Such a wonderful person. I think of him so often. I miss him so much. Anyway, Joe is down there to do something. Someday Joe will go to be with the Lord. Someday I'll go to be with the Lord. Someday you'll go be with the Lord, just like Al. So, think on him. And Brother Taylor, if you will, see that $50 goes in for me. And as David comes to pray, I want you to think this thing over.